Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
365 days are all the same. Wanna break the cycle, but I can't change my ways. Need to get up out my house, I've been stuck in this place. Wanna feel alive, but I can't feel a thing.
Welcome to the IDP Show. I'm your host, Josh Raymer, joined in the Soul Shack tonight. On my right, Adam Markham. On my left, Bobby Reynolds. Gentlemen, how are we on this 2024 evening?
Doing very well, Josh.
Did you have to think about it?
John,
I was just trying to tell the folks at home what year it was.
I was like, yeah, it is 2024, isn't it?
We have not potted this year, so we're just welcoming in the new year, Bobbo.
Sure. I wore my... Merry Christmas, socks.
There you go.
Sir.
Still Christmas season.
Everyone have a Merry Christmas?
It was a very good Christmas. The Christmas decorations are still up in the Raymer household.
Yeah, we still got the lights on outside.
Yeah, it will stay up probably
cold
through all of January. I think I don't know when they'll come down.
I think there should be a company you can just pay to come and get your tree as is, and they'll bring it back next November.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That would be nice.
Ornaments
just
on
keep
it
in a like warehouse with my name on it.
Saran wrap it.
Yeah,
bring it back to Christmas me. Trees.
Yeah. That would be nice.
We could.
That's a great idea.
Could be something.
Because it's always like, oh, God, we got to get the Christmas tree out. There's spiders everywhere because it's been in the garage and bugs.
I do love the Christmas spirit, you know, November, December. But then after Christmas, it's like, all right, get this out of my sight. I don't want the tree on anymore.
It's all right. We need the warmth. We're ready to go off.
Yeah.
We're depressed. We're sad.
I saw someone tweet like, January is not the time to make resolutions. That's like an April or September thing.
Yeah. Right.
January is just for like watching TV, eating ice cream out of the carton.
Yeah. Let's get through these next 3 months.
Just crying yourself to sleep.
Then we'll think about, you know, if we want to change anything.
Probably not. Because at that point, we're just mega sad.
I do try to think more optimistically. Like, once you roll past Christmas, the days are progressively getting longer.
That is true.
You're getting a little bit more sunshine.
Just a little bit.
Not much.
And knowing Kentucky, I mean, we got up to like 56 today.
Oh, I played a little disc golf.
Think it's supposed to be down
t-shirt
in the
on.
Teens to, or
Look
next
at
week.
You. Nothing but t-shirt on.
Hey, that's it.
Nothing but
Never
a t-shirt.
Never looked so beautiful.
Played well.
No pants, no shoes, no problem.
Hey.
Well, welcome in. We're glad you're here for this first episode of the new year with the Big Three. Hope you all had a wonderful Christmas and New Year's as well. We are happy to be back with you all. It is officially the off season. Championships have wrapped up. The regular season is over. We are just a few days away from the NFL playoffs starting on Saturday, Super Wild Card Weekend. We've got bunch of games. I think two on Saturday, three on Sunday, and one on Monday. Full weekend of games.
NFL just being greedy again.
How many days can we spread this? Got a game on Peacock as well.
Oh, really?
Yes, the Chiefs-Dolphins game is exclusively on Peacock.
Why?
Yeah, money.
Gosh, that's so aggravating.
Lots of money.
I've got a Peacock account.
Peacock's a great streaming service. I mean, I will stand for the bird.
Is it a paid for thing though?
It's like $5 a month.
I got it. Oh, okay. I got it with my Golf Now subscription.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Shout out. Thank you. It will expire though, and I'll probably need one next year.
Okay.
So I don't know. I probably won't do it at that point.
Yeah, another golf subscription. Adam famously does not watch TV, so he will not be using it for the original programming. Yeah,
just the games.
Just the games. That's it. Right. We'll get used to it. They'll have it.
That's
probably
all they deserve. I watch nothing else. Feeling nothing else up in here.
Nothing at all. Just YouTube golf highlights.
Close to this time of year, maybe it's after the playoffs, when they run the, you know, you can go back and actually watch like game tape, and they'll run like a little free.
It used to be NFL Game Rewind, right?
Well, it's with NFL Plus now.
That's it.
Yeah. I am just like a corporate shill tonight.
You really are. Anything else you'd like to plug, Mr. Shill?
Getting annoyed.
Goodness gracious.
It's good though. And the replays are, you know, available immediately.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, that app was a hot ass disaster the first year, and they caught a ton of flack for it. So I think someone got fired, and they got that thing right for year two.
They did good.
Yeah,
I was impressed.
Because I think with a certain tier, you could get the red zone, right?
I think so.
So
did you wear the Colts sweatshirt just accidentally tonight, or are you making a point?
No, I'm
bummed.
I just wanted to have some NFL merch on.
No, that's probably 25% of your wardrobe.
Probably
Colts
is,
apparel.
Yeah. Colts apparel.
I like that.
Western apparel. Sure. I mean, I didn't expect us to win. I mean, when your fourth down play in the Colts Texans game comes down to Goodson and Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, it's Gardner Minshew.
It's okay. Yeah. I'm fine. This season was a huge success.
Boy, what a bro that guy is.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously.
Like, hearing him, like, mic'd up and stuff, you're like, good Lord, how can anyone take this guy serious?
I know. And then just, you know, the poor kid that's, like, the third string running back, mm-hmm. just, like, holding, you know, tears in his eyes, having to explain at his locker what happened on that play. It's like, God, this is just, like,
yeah,
you know, this is just crushing. So
yeah, it's tough.
But, you know, it was a good season. We know Shane's a good coach. That team way overachieved. That should have been like a 4 or 5 win team once A. Rich went down. So get him back. I'd like us to re-sign Pittman. We've got JT under contract. So.
Oh, yeah. You guys are in good shape.
Yeah. I'm excited. The AFC South's kind of frisky.
Yeah.
If you can get an offensive mind in there in Tennessee to mold Will Levis. And
T-Law's the worst quarterback in the division.
Huge bust all of a sudden.
Oh, my gosh. Did you see the paralleled stats between him and Mac Jones?
Mm-mm.
There's a tweet out now that's like
scarily. I think so. Eerily similar.
Eerily similar.
There you go.
Actually, I know Mac Jones was better in a couple of the categories, which is
he might be better. I mean, bring him in.
He just got benched for Bailey Zappi. Shout out Western.
I also saw a cut up though of like T Law putting some balls on the number and receivers just dropping it.
Calvin Ridley had 7 or 8 dropped passes or something.
Zay Jones had a bunch.
Yeah, Calvin Ridley is like 30. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, say what you want to.
That team needs some more talent.
Age-wise, he's older. They're not going to keep Ridley. They're going to have a lot of turnover this year. Can they even afford Josh Allen now? Trayvon Walker came on the end of the season.
I think they'll franchise tag.
That's nice. Awesome.
Yeah, they did. That was a bit under the radar.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of under the radar.
Sure.
We're going to talk about some IDP Dynasty Risers tonight after the break. But first, we are going to talk through one of our favorite annual traditions. It is the NFL Playoff IDP Rankings, available for free over at theidpshow.com. So if you're playing in a playoff fantasy league, which we recommend, it's my favorite form of fantasy, we have a template in there if you want to do just the Google Sheet option. That's actually how we do our draft, is we will draft in the Google Sheet, and then Adam will go in and add the rosters manually. But we use Fantrax. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, it is the only site platform that does, you know, playoff fantasy with full IDP.
MFL may. Don't go sending us emails. I know the MFL crowd.
We started on Fantrax 2 years ago. MFL did not. So unless they've added it, which they may have.
Explain it a little bit, Josh, because I played with some guys this week, and they were kind of not understanding the concept just a little bit. They had never played
fantasy
before. Yeah.
So it's like a survivor pool.
Yep.
You have to pick players that are going to get you a lot of games, because if you're one and done with all of your guys, you're done. You don't get to redraft.
Yep.
We do a draft and done setup where you pick a team for the entire playoffs, and you know, there's a lot of strategy that goes into it. Do you spread your guys out?
Mm-hmm.
I think the strategy that has been shown to be most successful is you stack the teams that you think are going to make the Super Bowl.
Load up on 2 or 3 teams.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then do you take the team that has the bye?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, well, those are the best teams, right? But what if they get upset?
Yep.
You lose that first round game, they get bounced, they get upset. Suddenly you're sunk. Mm-hmm. So do you take a team playing in the wild card round, like a Buffalo Bills or something that you think could make a run?
Yeah.
So I like it because there's a lot more strategy involved, because these teams could be gone.
Because essentially with the Bills, you can get 4 games out of them if they make it to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And regardless of how their players, you know, perform, you're going to get 4 games out of Gabe Davis, Ed Oliver, Josh Allen. I mean, it's going to be it's going to be hard to beat. My thought process in a lot of it is, can I get 2 games out of this guy? Is this a one and done? Because if it is, is a George Pickens really even worth drafting? You know, fun.
You might sprinkle those guys in.
Yeah.
Like if, you know, TJ Watt's out, but he'd be a great example of like, if Watt's sitting out there, I'll add him as like my IDP flex or something.
Right. Just so off chance he gets 4 sacks in this game, right?
Yeah. And maybe the Steelers win one, and then you get 2 games out of him, and you're like, all right, I feel a little better now.
Yeah. You're like, do I want TJ Watt, or do I want someone like Javon Hargrave,
or Jadeveon Clowney,
right
from Baltimore.
All the guys that were in it with me basically came out saying that was one of the more fun, thought-provoking type drafts that I've done in a while.
Playoff drafts are so much fun.
It feels really weird drafting Javon Hargrave over an Aaron Donald, but there's worlds where you might do something like that.
It's all about which teams can you get the most games out of.
Absolutely.
So, and if you think, hey, I think the Rams could make the Super Bowl, load up. Like, a great strategy would be, like, Cowboys and Bills.
Yeah.
Like, if you think those two teams could win the Super Bowl, and, you know, I think they very much could, stack those teams.
Yeah.
Because you could get four games out of them, potentially. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, sometimes you got to zag a little bit. Everyone's going to be on Baltimore and San Fran. Yeah. So, yeah, you got to kind of take those little shots that if they do get you three games or whatever – you're going to have a good shot at winning it.
Yep. Yeah, the year I won it, the year I finally beat you, I stacked your Rams when they made the Super Bowl.
Let's go.
So if you pick the Super Bowl team, there's a very good chance that you are going to win.
And this is one of the most fun years to start because there's no clear favorite. There's no Patriots to where when everybody has all the McCourties, then you basically know, well, that was fun playing.
Yeah, you stack Tom Brady and Gronk and Edelman and all the defensive guys. But let's talk through, boys, some of the top options at each position. Like we said, theidpshow.com. Adam put the ranks together. They are available over there for free. We have both it broken down by team and then a top 75 as well. So make sure you check that out. And make sure you play playoff fantasy because it's a lot of fun. But LB options, boys. I'll just read some of the top options here and we can talk about maybe some targets you like personally. So Fred Warner, Roquan Smith, Terrell Bernard, Patrick Queen, Dre Greenlaw, Nick Bolton, JOK, Ernest Jones. Addy, who do you like from that list or maybe from some of the other guys that I didn't read there?
Yeah, I mean, I think Terrell Bernard's a really nice one that you could probably get at a nice value. If you are doing these playoff leagues, you're probably in it with some casual
casuals,
folks.
Yeah.
You know, like the one we do is with high school friends pretty much, and a few of those guys are not as plugged into the IDP side. So, I mean, you could easily get a guy like Terrell Bernard, you know, a little later than you're supposed to.
Yep.
So I like him quite a bit. I mean, Patrick Queen's a nice one too. Nick Bolton. I think Nick Bolton's he's kind of coming on as of late.
He's buried on Fantrax.
Is he?
Absolutely buried. If I hadn't already drafted two.
That's right, because he missed. He missed this year.
Ben called me. Shout out Fantasy Guru, bro. And we were talking. I was like, dude, I'm going to give you a little leg up here. Nick Bolton is still available. So.
Well, and then, Bobo, you've actually already drafted. So who were the linebackers you ended up with?
Okay, so hold on, Josh. We're loading.
Loading?
Okay, here we go. We're good.
All right.
So I got Micah Parsons, linebacker, and Fred Warner. And then in my IDP flex, I also have Dre Greenlaw. So
there you go. So you went
a little
Cowboys,
San Fran
Niners.
Heavy.
Yeah.
But,
does he have a edge tag or anything on there, a DL tag? Or?
Yeah, so Micah Parsons on here. It's letting me put him in the LB spot. So he is a linebacker on there.
Okay. There you
Bizarre.
Go. Good to know.
Don't like that.
Don't like that at all. So did you stack San Fran in yours in your draft?
Not really. I don't really have a ton of San Fran players on offense. I do have George Kittle. I'm probably a little too Ram heavy. I have Stafford and ended up, it just happened this way, I did get Puka and Kupp. So if you get two games out of them, it's probably worth it.
I think the Rams are a nice little low-key option because I think that team is sneaky good.
Yeah, I think, feel like Detroit. That game,
Detroit's another one.
Again, yeah, but I mean, that game's a coin flip, you know.
It is,
yeah.
Yes.
Either one of those teams, like, I think they're both good.
Will probably be the best game of the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I think so, too.
It's the prime time game, what, Saturday night, Sunday night?
Sunday night.
Sunday night
football.
There you go. Yeah, I was going to say, you could, depending on who you like out of Lions, Rams, I think that could be a fun team to stack because there's going to be options on both sides of the ball. I think Detroit is a fun option to make, you know, win a game or two at least. And you've got Anzalone there. You've got on the edge rushing rotation, Hutchinson. You've got some fun DB options on offense. You know, you've got
Bruce Irvin.
Yeah. Bruce is with the Dolphins now.
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yes. Yeah. He just signed with the Dolphins.
They need
all the help they can get. Frank Clark this week.
Did they?
No, I don't think it was Frank. I think it was somebody a little less sexy.
Okay. Melvin Ingram.
Melvin Ingram's been there.
Okay.
I think they cut him, brought him back, and now, especially with Chubb
ABG's
gone.
ABG's done, too.
ABG's.
Mm-hmm.
Is he out?
Out for the season. Foot
is
injury.
Is he really?
Yeah, man.
Dang. They
Crazy.
Have been
yeah, they're ravaged. That's going to be a big part of that game, how much that defense is taking.
Well, and I don't want any piece of that Chiefs-Dolphins game because I don't think you're going to get a lot of production in a negative 30-degree wind chill game.
That's true.
And also, in those kind of conditions, I have no idea who I would pick in that game. Like, I'm going to be in Vegas this weekend. I don't know what I'm going to be doing. I may take the Chiefs money line, but, like, just being at home.
I feel like I'd bet with Mahomes. I feel like he's you just got to bet on his experience.
Just bet on the best quarterback.
Yeah.
If you're banking on Tua, I saw something where in, like, less than 10-degree weather, Tua's, like, 0-4, 58 passer rush.
He plays in Miami.
Yeah, he's, like, really not good.
Yeah.
He's like Peyton Manning, pretty much.
All those dudes do. You know, I don't feel like any of those guys are, like, built for cold weather. Like, Tyreek.
That's where, like,
it's all speed. Yeah. It's all speed. You're not built for that.
I'm definitely taking the Chiefs in that game.
Also, like, I like the idea of getting some of those Cleveland linebackers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got Houston.
JOK, obviously. And then Houston, I mean, that's another game where, like, those are...
It's pretty close.
I mean, Blake Cashman's been really good this year. Christian Harris has been on fire.
We'll talk about him later, I think.
Yeah, because the Browns are going to win a game. The Browns are going to beat the Steelers, probably.
Well, the Browns got the Texans, right?
Yes, yes.
You're right. Yeah. I said that
so
wrong.
I think that's a coin
I think that's
flip.
A good one. That's a good one. But I do think I lean the Browns a little bit.
That's who I'd probably bet.
Flacco has a Super Bowl, you know? I know he's a little bit older, but that dude's still been...
It just worries me, like, is he going to turn into a pumpkin at some point?
Yeah.
You know?
Is it in Houston?
He does have those games where he'll just...
No, it'll be in Cleveland.
Dude, so it's going to be cold as crap this weekend in Cleveland as well.
And he has those games like where he'll throw like 3-4 picks, you know?
That's the thing. Yeah. If you're bombing it deep at, 39 years old, I mean, just never know.
And is Elijah Moore okay? I mean, he had a pretty bad concussion last time we saw him.
Is Cooper back?
Cooper should be back.
I would think so,
with the week of rest.
What y'all's
thoughts? 2 weeks of rest.
We'll go ahead and talk a little dynasty. Have y'all come around at all on Christian Harris?
Yes.
Yeah,
we're going to get there.
I was going to say, we'll talk about it after the break.
Sorry. My apologies. Well, or was it? Did I do it on purpose?
I think the two that I like.
Teaser.
I think Ernest Jones and Alex Anzalone are two that I really like is like just, you know, if you want to.
Ernest is a good one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because it's like, you know that Ernest is going to perform, especially if you get two games out of him.
Ernest was the LB1, I think, of the fantasy playoffs for us.
He's just finished so hot.
He averaged like 25 points per game over the last 3 weeks of the season. So, yeah, red hot.
As far as like coming into the fantasy playoffs.
It was him and JOK, actually.
Exactly, the NFL playoffs for fantasy. I mean, these two guys are as hot as you could possibly be.
I didn't realize, too. Follow us on the YouTubes if you don't. But Adam had a little YouTube exclusive, the NFC recap. And I didn't realize that Ernest Jones had not only the most pass rush snaps of any linebacker, but also the most pressures.
Yeah, he led in pressures.
Wow.
And he might have gotten beaten in the pass rush snaps, but that's just because he didn't play week 18, right?
No.
I mean, if you're looking at like per game, pass rush snaps, Ernest Jones led that, and he led in pressures. So
I feel like we talked about this a little bit, you know, and kind of what led us into the Ernest Jones pass rush stuff was Nate Tice talking about how in the Super Bowl, they were walking Ernest Jones up into the A and B gap and letting him rush the passer at times. And then they talked about when Bobby Wagner came on board, like, good gosh, the amount of sacks that these guys are going to have. And I think Wagner had a lot of sacks in L.A. last year. But I really didn't see this from a sack production coming from Ernest this year as the LB1 by himself. But, hey, golly, Ernest,
love to see it. Love to see it.
Good times.
Now, let's move to defensive line. So, some good D-tackle options in this playoffs here. You've got Javon Hargrave, Ed Oliver, Chris Jones, Aaron Donald, Jalen Carter, Kobe Turner, if he's listed as a defensive tackle, Ose Odighizuwa, Michael Pierce, Christian Wilkins. I mean, when Christian Wilkins is bringing up the rear, I mean, that's a pretty nice kind of slate of defensive tackles. Let's mention the edge rushers
Zach Saylor, we didn't mention him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Edge rushers, Nick Bosa, Micah Parsons, Jadeveon Clowney, Miles Garrett, Aiden Hutchinson, Gregory Rousseau, George Karloftis, Will Anderson, Kyle Van Noy, Hassan Reddick. So, gentlemen, who do y'all like out of the defensive line group?
Well, before Adam talks, I want to explain a little bit. So, what I'm reading through this is, you know, it's weird because you're basically reading talent and who Adam likes. So Adam kind of likes the Cowboys. He kind of likes the 49ers a little bit.
Ravens, yeah.
He's got the Ravens kind of sprinkled in there, but you also is kind of a part where it's like, don't forget about the Rams. Also, Jalen Carter, you know.
Well,
so,
and that's why we do the team rankings as well. Yep. So if you feel better about the Rams, there you go. There are the top options for that team.
It just sounds funny hearing Christian Wilkins' name last at D-tackle.
Yes, yeah.
That's what makes this so much fun.
With Michael Pierce in front of him.
Yeah. That's right. Because Odighizuwa, you know, like, this is what makes it fun is, like, obviously Christian Wilkins is a better option than a lot of those guys, but the Dolphins probably aren't going to win that game. Yeah. So you're going to he's going to be one and done.
Yeah, I feel like if someone just clicked on the article and didn't read all the stuff, which is that's
possible
this day and age. That's yes. how it goes.
They scroll right down to the rankings.
They just looked at the rankings. I'm sure that got sent around to a lot of places.
A lot of
Reddit. Look at this dope. Sure. Look at this dope right here.
Sure.
Got Michael Pierce ahead of Christian Wilkins. Yeah. But that's how you got to play it, folks, is when you're doing the draft and done, you've got to pick winners. now, what do we think about Bosa, Parsons? I think in terms of like overall 101, especially in our scoring system, which we use Big Three scoring for our league, I think Parsons might be my 101 because I think there's a good chance the Cowboys could make the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think so.
And, you know, this is obviously a prolific
and
edge rusher.
If they do make the Super Bowl, they didn't have a bye, so you get
4 games.
You get 4 games, right? Yep. That's rare.
Wowzer.
A few teams that could get 4 games.
I really do think Cowboys, Bills, that stack makes a lot of sense.
Bills are very hot right now.
Yep. I mean, 1-6 in a row, 5 out of 6 mm-hmm. or something like that to close the season. I remember sitting here on the show saying, Bills are done. They're not making it.
Same, yeah.
Right? They looked awful. They'd lost too many games, they just got hot and rattled off some wins.
Fired that OC.
You're probably getting 2 games out of the Bills. They're going to beat Pittsburgh.
I think so, too.
Oh, yeah. That feels like one of the easiest matchups of the weekend.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really the way you can do it is unless you just really feel like Ravens, 49ers are going to make the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. If you can, picking two teams that you like to make the Super Bowl from the wild card round and just stacking those two teams. Now, if you whiff and you miss, then you're out. But I just think you have to take that swing if you want to try to win it.
I wonder historically, like, what the odds are of the favorite getting to the Super Bowl.
I think in the recent history, the favorites have made it more than not.
Really?
So, well, because it's often been like Patriots and Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
The kind of forgotten team here, though, a little bit, is the Philadelphia Eagles.
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I kind of like the Bucks in that game, man.
I know. Well, with everything that's happened week 18, just, oh, man. The Jalen Hurts holding up his hand and the finger
looks like a zigzag.
Oh, did not need to see that.
Nope. Yeah. Said he hadn't thrown a football
right
since that game.
Right.
That's not good.
So that's not good. I mean, you feel like, is this just going to be like a running game for Philly? Like, are they going to even be able to pass at all? A.J. Brown went down in week 18 with a knee injury. I guess he's going to be fine, but
didn't look good.
I don't think he was practicing today, was he?
Yeah, I don't think he has all week.
I mean, I think those guys will play because they have the Monday night game, so they've got an extra day of rest. But
still, just not how you want to Devontae Smith was hurt to finish the year, right? This team is just banged up.
They're just limping into the playoffs. The Bucks are
and honestly, Josh Sweat,
frisky.
Sweat and Reddick haven't done much here lately.
They haven't.
They've been really quiet.
They just lost Sidney Brown mm-hmm. with a torn ACL, who was coming on at the end of the year.
Brutal, because he'll be out for a lot of next season, too.
Yes, yes.
That's what sucks. It's so late in the year.
That'd be fun to have a little Baker, Mike Evans stack if you were to get through.
They're healthy, right? They've got defensive. They showed like a lot of the guys that weren't there for the first game. Like Yaya was not a starter yet. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of their secondary was banged up. I don't think they had Vita Vea. So now healthy.
Winfield is should be a DPOY candidate.
I mean, he's going to be the best player on the field, in my opinion, on both teams.
I think Schrager did a little, maybe it was a DPOY kind of ranking this week on Good Morning Football, and I think he had Winfield as like,
he should
DPOY.
Be.
Dude, he's been incredible.
Yeah, he's been insane, especially the last couple months.
So let's talk about defensive back, though, and look at the cornerbacks. So some good cornerback options as well. Charvarius Ward, Teron Johnson, Rasul Douglas, Brandon Stevens, Diamonor Lenore, Legarius Sneed, Trent McDuffie. Switching over to safety, Kyle Hamilton, Donovan Wilson, Justin Reed, Marcus Williams, Reed Blankenship, Kevin Byard, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, Antoine Winfield. So, Baba, who do you like out of the DB group? Well, who did you take at, let's do defensive line and DB from your draft?
So my D-line is Will Anderson and Justin Matabukwe, just because I like them to maybe win 2 games. I like Houston in that setup, and I like Baltimore. I think you're going to get 2 games out of Baltimore and potentially, a Super Bowl run from them. And you'll see that also in my defensive back. So I got Kevin Byard because I do think Philadelphia is being forgotten to some extent. But then I doubled down with Kyle Hamilton and Geno Stone.
Okay.
This league that I set up is a little bit heavy for interceptions. You get the ball taken away. The points are pretty hefty for you. So Geno Stone had, 7 interceptions on the year?
Yeah, he did.
K-Ham, I think, is probably the best safety option out of anybody in the IDP DB section.
When you look at the longevity potential, yeah. Because, I mean, Antoine Winfield's the best safety this year, but that game's a coin flip.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you like the Bucs, you don't like them to probably win two games. You might like them to win one game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably not going to be drafting any of those guys.
Mm-hmm. As much as I would love to, I could see sprinkling in a Winfield, like, just because I think he's going to ball out.
Dude, Melifonwu could be a nice little sprinkle as well.
Absolutely.
He's been great. Mm-hmm.
Especially if that's another team that I think you could potentially stack would be Lions, because I think that team is good.
Oh, yeah.
I think they are legit good. Mm-hmm. And the NFC is wide open. I mean, there's, you know, it's a little top heavy with the 49ers and Cowboys, but I think the Lions are right there for me as that third team.
Yeah, Aiden Hutchinson is on fire right now.
Yep.
I think he has, what, like 5 sacks in his last 2 or something?
Just going nuts.
Yeah.
So, Addy, who would be your 101 in terms of looking at teams that you would want to stack from, what position you'd want to target first? Who's that number one guy for you?
It's going to be Bosa. Mm-hmm.
Think so?
Yeah. I mean, and I'm assuming we're playing in big play type leagues where you get – where your guys that get a lot of sacks, those are your leading scorers in fantasy. It'd be Bosa, I think. I mean, just because – I feel the best about San Fran as far as, like, I think they're the best team in it right now. Mm-hmm. There's not really anyone I'm too scared of in the NFC, especially now with Philly, you know.
Being weird.
Being hurt and banged up.
I put Dallas and San Fran on the same page. But
still Dallas.
Do you trust Dallas?
Exactly.
Yeah, against San Fran. Johnny's already calling them getting wiped out in the, I guess, NFC Championship game or whenever they
meet. I'm nervous about them this weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, it's because it's Dallas. Yep. We see this all the time with Dallas.
Against the Packers, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Packers are hot.
They are. They
you
are.
You never know.
I'm always a little scared when it comes to Dallas.
Yep. I think they are a different team than they've been in the past, but
yeah.
How far does that carry them?
So, yeah, that's why my 1 and 2 is actually Bosa 1, Fred Warner 2.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think, Roquan Smith, Patrick Queen would be great options. I think Bernard is probably the sneakiest option on the board because you could get a Bills team that makes it to the Super Bowl, and there's your LB1, you know, for 4 games.
Is it going to be easier to get past Dallas or San Fran or easier to get past the Chiefs and Baltimore?
Baltimore's so good. I mean, they were annihilating people.
Yeah, they're the favorite.
So I think they would be number one. San
Just
Fran would be number
Cook
2.
Too.
Yeah.
See what he looks like.
Yeah.
But, wow. I mean, yeah, that's who I'd ride with, I think. If I had to pick 2 teams, it'd be Baltimore and San Fran.
All that Michigan stuff's got Harbaugh stirred up.
That's a big hot take over here.
Yeah.
The 2-1 seeds.
Yeah, well, I mean.
But they're the 2 best teams.
You could do worse. The only risk there is if they get upset, then you only get the 1 game.
Yeah.
So that's what you have to keep in mind with the favorites is that you lose that first week, but they're the favorites. So I don't think that's a bad strategy at all.
But that would be something with the Harbaughs doing it.
Sure it is.
Both of them. Yeah. Wow, narrative streak.
They played in the Super Bowl against each other before, but that would be cool to have, college playoff winner and then – NFL playoff winner.
I think Jack
as well.
Was at the game. I think they showed him at one point.
He was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
John and Jack were both at that game.
Did the he hugged his dad and his dad yelled, and then he hugged his mom, and his mom did like the same exact yell.
Really?
It was kind of creepy, honestly. His mom scares me.
Yeah, that the parents, that's what the Western Kentucky luxury box is named after. The Jack and Jackie Harbaugh suite.
Yeah, hey. They really like kickstarted Western.
He got a ship here.
D1 and stuff, right?
Yeah, we were Division 1 AA, and we got a national championship.
94, 95 time frame.
Jack Harbaugh.
Yeah.
No, I think it was 2001.
Was it?
Okay. Yeah, it was a little later.
It was just, we had just one side. We didn't have a.
Yeah, we did.
It was not 2 sides.
It was not 2 sided.
The stadium.
We were not a big deal.
I think I think he gave Western Kentucky a shout out during his like post game press conference.
They kicked those balls into the railroad track.
Into the trains. Yeah. They really
legitimately.
Did.
Legitimately.
Yeah.
If you're driving along in a convertible, you just get absolutely knocked out by
those. Are all apartments now.
Yeah.
Sad.
We're a big deal.
We are a big deal.
Bowling Green.
Hey, probably had one of the best bowl games of the bowl season.
Yeah,
the Toastery Bowl. I turned that thing off. I was going doing chores, like running errands, come back. I'm like, this game's gotten pretty close.
Yep.
We were down, like, I think 4 touchdowns in the first quarter.
Hey, as
it was nuts.
As a Tate boy, I was pretty uninterested in Romo Dunze. He didn't look that great. As a, quote, number 2 wide receiver off the board, I needed a little bit more.
Well, Washington, nobody looked good.
Was
in that
left
game.
Lacking. I didn't
Michigan
even think.
Just ate their lunch.
Phoenix looked very good.
He was just getting beat up, dude.
Yes.
Let's talk about some wild card rounds.
Got 2 Harbaughs coming after you.
IDP bets. We are going to have some fun episodes coming up with y'all next week. We will have IDP bets with Johnny and Justin Varnes, And then week after that, we'll have Scott Bogman on for conference championships. So if you've got legal gambling options where you are, or you can find a good offshore website to place your bets with, we will have some good options for you on the IDP side.
Yeah, or if you're a state line that is legal and too far away, there you go.
Just... We used to creep down to Tennessee and play some bets.
Often. I always loved playing golf in Tennessee.
Yeah, it's about 20 minutes down the road.
Could play some bets in between holes and stuff. Yeah, it's nice.
So, Addy, you pulled favorite bets for wild card weekend. Talk us through what you like. What is bet number one?
Devin White, over 4.5 tackles plus assist. I had to do a triple take on this line. I was like, is this just a solo tackle?
Really low for combined.
Yeah, and I know it's been a down year for Devin White, but yeah, just a silly line. I feel like this is definitely going to move to 5.5 before the weekend gets here.
Or 8.5.
They might jump it like 2.
Maybe. But yeah, I mean, Devin White, he's had at least 5 tackles in 9 of 14 games this season. He's averaging 6 tackles per game. He's has a career average of 7.4 tackles per game. And, I mean, in this matchup, like we mentioned with Philly, you know, Jalen Hurts can't throw a ball right now, apparently. So I feel like it's going to be a heavy ground attack from Philly, which could equal a lot of tackles for these linebackers. So, yeah, over 4.5 tackles plus assists for Devin White. That's an easy one.
It's going to be a cold game, too, I assume. I haven't checked the temperatures in Philly, but I think everyone's...
At Tampa.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Looking here.
That's
ESPN.
Right. You're right, because Tampa is the division winner.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that 4-5?
Yeah, 4-5. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so, but I think we're still going to get a heavy dose of the ground game with Hurts not able to throw the ball right now.
Not going to throw.
Yeah, so.
Kenny Gainwell, DeAndre Swift, Trey Sermon.
Let it ride. Trey Sermon's on the Colts.
Not there anymore. My bad. Apologies.
That's one of the lowest lines I've seen for a linebacker this year.
I would be
like, typically, it's always
that.
Like 6.5, you know, but 4.5. It is minus 135 right now, but still. A win's a win. Put this thing in a parlay. I mean, I'm doing it. That's what I'm going to be doing a lot. I've got this thing in quite a few bets already.
All right. I'm going to be in Vegas, so I'll place that wager as well. I don't know if they do.
Do it now.
Yeah, I don't know if they do IDP props there, so I may have to do it before I leave. Because weirdly, I don't think they have the DraftKings in Vegas.
Well, do it in the state that you're over in the airplane. No, like, that's a good question. We're in Tennessee. You can't do it yet.
It's international waters.
You can't connect to the internet.
Boo. Well, if your plane has internet.
Ooh.
But I don't know what I don't. Maybe it just.
No, you still can't do it, Josh.
That's trippy.
It probably blocks it. It probably blocks it. Otherwise, trippy. People be betting their asses off.
Who
on
owns
airplanes.
The air?
Lord does. Next up, Addy, what you got?
Aliens do.
Yeah,
they're real. They are real.
Did y'all hear about the Miami Mall? That was insane. What a weird start to the year it's been. We had a guy swimming naked in Bass Pro Shop. The littlest winger you've
that
ever
was
seen.
The worst. Video I've seen in so long. That Taze drop from the have you been to the see how far of a drop that would be?
He landed right on a rock.
Dude, that hurt so
he's just sprawled
bad.
Out naked on the floor. That's just a great meme for starting out the new year.
I was hoping
I think that's
dude
how we all feel.
Under the influence of something.
Nope. Just under the influence of wanting to get naked in a Bass Pro Shop.
Apparently. Hey boy, who amongst us?
That's right. Who amongst us has not wanted to do that? Addy, what you got next for us?
Fish
here,
be like, bro. What are you doing?
Ain't nothing for us to nibble off.
All right. Bet number two.
Let's go.
This is for Bob. Ernest Jones, over 8.5 tackles.
Come on.
Ernest has had 9 tackles in 10 of 15 games this season, and he's averaging 9.7 tackles per game. Detroit ranks 12th in linebacker tackles allowed, giving up 16.7 per week. As we know, Ernest Jones, red hot right now.
Yes, sir.
This feels like there's going to be a lot of snaps on both sides.
A lot of David
Montgomery,
a lot of Jahmyr Gibbs.
Good call, Josh.
Like a lot of Ernest Jones in this game.
Yes. Love that.
Detroit likes to run the ball. You know, regardless of what the game scheme is, you're going to get Gibbs for 15.
They are
going
to try to ground
15.
The Rams into dust with
those I'd say 20 to 30 carries. And then also they like to work the middle of the field with, you know, LaPorta, if he's able to go.
If he's able to
Amon-Ra,
go.
Obviously, love to use him in the middle of the field. So, I mean, that should equal tackle production for
I'm excited for that game.
Oh,
I think that could be
that's
going to
be
fireworks.
So much fun, dude.
Absolutely.
Yep. Just the narrative alone is incredible.
Who wants that more? Yes. If you're Stafford or Goff, who wants it more?
Goff.
You think so?
Absolutely. Yeah, because you got shipped out of town and they had to send a first for Detroit to take you. I mean, you were tossed out like the trash. And Stafford
got a Super
ring.
Bowl,
yeah.
But he's back in his old city.
What about Dan Campbell not resting starters week 18?
Getting LaPorta hurt. I don't know. I have mixed feelings on that. I would always rest my guys because you can't get hurt if you rest. And I just don't believe in the rust like
it wouldn't have changed the seed at all.
Yeah, especially now if you have like seeding implications, but if you have nothing to play for,
right? Which they didn't.
I don't think they did. No.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
That's kind of like what I've loved about McVay. Like you ain't seeing any of these guys in the preseason.
Not in the preseason.
No reason to.
Yep. I don't know. I think these guys are professionals. They've played all year. It's not like coming into the year. Like I think there is something to be said for not playing football for whatever, like 7 months. And then being rusty to start the season if you don't play in the preseason.
Now, Baltimore hasn't played for like 3 weeks now with this bye week coming up, and I don't think they played week 18 or 17 because they've kind of had it locked. You think that's a...
Well, yeah, I mean, you never know. I mean, it's... I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I think with a team...
They could certainly be rusty for sure.
With a team like Baltimore that's just so well coached and like a veteran group, if it was like a young upstart, I'd be a little more concerned.
Yeah. You know, they're going to run the ball. They're going to play great defense. I mean... Yep.
Put some WD-40. That's
the
thing. On that
rust. The defense. I don't think has to worry about the rust because those guys. I mean, they were smacking the Miami Dolphins in that game. I mean, they absolutely pants those guys.
Love smacking Dolphins.
Yeah, it's just a lot of silliness on this episode, boys. Yeah, I missed this.
So sorry.
All right, Addy. Next up here, bet number three. Looks like we are going to Houston. Who you got for us?
Number three, Mr. Desmond King. Remember that guy?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. He's always been a fun option.
He's a legend. He really is. Over 5.5 tackles plus assist. With Tevier Thomas being injured and now on IR, it's been Desmond King manning the slot corner role in Houston. We know how profitable that role is.
Yes, sir.
King is averaging 8.5 tackles per game over his last four. One of those was actually against Cleveland in week 16 where King put up a cool 11 tackles.
11 tackles. That seems like, Bobo, more than 5.5 to me.
Yes, 5.5. Carry the 8.
These seem
three.
Like some smashes.
Some would say that it's double 5.5.
Oh, whoa. Dang. I didn't even think about that.
Dang, that's trippy.
Math is hard. Yeah. But you trippy. Made that look easy.
People have been saying that.
People have been saying
that. I am looking in. I'm going to look
and
into it.
5.5 doubled is 11.
As soon as this show is over, I will look into that.
Yeah, he will pull confirm. Up a calculator.
I'll put it in the comments.
He will pull up the calculator. He'll do boobies first, and then he'll do 5.5 times 2.
My favorite was when Desmond King was returning like punt kicks pretty crazy.
Yes.
He was
DB1, I believe, one year that we.
Hey, remember Marcus Jones?
He may still be. I don't know. He's been, but like, in fantasy leagues too, he's been like killing it, like averaging like 20 points per game. Like he under the radar was really, really good. If you're able to, plug him in any of your fantasy playoff lineups.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nice. We got some quick hitters as well here, Addy.
Some quick hitters. Nick Bolton over 7.5 T plus A.
Mm. Mm.
It's tackles plus assist. You dirty,
get
dirty
your minds
girls.
Out of the gutter.
Hassan Reddick under 0.75
first under. Okay, so talk to me about this one.
He's just been cold lately. Yeah, and Tampa Bay, I know Baker is a little hobbled right now, but they've been really good about not, giving up sacks.
You are right.
So, I kind of like that. And I don't normally like – and also I like the fact that it's 0.75, right? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of these are 0.25.
Yep.
As we'll get to. But, yeah, Hassan Reddick, he's been cold. I just don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I especially with the 0.75, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yep. Next, I like Emmanuel Ogbah over 0.25. I really like this one for the juice. He's going to definitely get the most opportunities all year.
He's the guy now.
And he's been pretty productive when he has gotten a chance, but they just haven't needed this dude. Like, this dude was, I think it was two seasons ago, he got super paid. Had got a really nice bag, but then just like, can't even use this guy.
Good. Yeah.
They can't even use him now.
Before I forget, with Baker Mayfield, you are right. Midseason, they were giving up like one sack a game, two sack a games. Like they were pretty good there. But the last 4 weeks, they've given up 3 sacks, 2 sacks, 2 sacks, and a 5-sack game in week 14. So, yes, I do like that. That's a good call.
Hopefully we don't see week 14?
Yeah.
Type performance, but
5 sacks.
Reddick's been cold. Josh Sweat's been cold. All those guys have been really.
The whole Philly team's been cold.
They really have.
Who's been really good from?
They're in a funk right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just weird because it's like we can't really put your finger on what's going on, but they just look broken and dysfunctional.
Yeah.
So, a couple more quick hitters. It looks like
Rashawn Gary over 0.25 sacks. That's plus 165. That's just it's Dak Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
He can do some dumb stuff. I like the juice there. And then DeMarcus Lawrence over 0.25. That's plus 230.
Plus 230.
Jordan Love's first playoff game.
For DeMarcus Lawrence?
Yeah, DeMarcus Lawrence, who's been pretty well. I mean, he's been playing pretty well from the metric standpoint, like PFF wise, he looks, you know, and I think he had a really strong end of the season, but
it's DeMarcus Lawrence. I mean, it's a potential Hall of Famer here.
Yeah. So yeah, like, 0.25.
Yeah. Plus 230. Half a sack. Love that.
DeMarcus Lawrence been really good. Good call, Eddie.
So yeah, that's where I find usually the best money is on the sack props, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Especially on these quarter sacks.
Yeah,
that's really
nice. So I like to combine usually like a sack prop with one of those easy tackle, you know, like the Devin White with a.
That's just easy money
with mm-hmm. Rashawn Gary with the DeMarcus Lawrence and just yeah. Mm-hmm. But even so, I'm also putting 10 on Devin White and just enjoying my, you know, $5, $6 I'm gonna get back.
That's sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
You just love to be able to just take money from DraftKings.
A win's a win.
That's right. Take the win.
I don't got to feel bad about not having, you know, plus money odds. Uh-huh. Just leave me alone. Yeah.
Just let me take my dub.
Sure. You need a dub. You need a dub every once in a while.
We're going to try to help you get some dubs throughout the NFL playoffs. Like we said, we'll have IDP bets every week for the rest of the NFL playoffs. We'll have, like we said, Justin Varnes next week, Scott Bogman the week after that. And we'll have a guest for the Super Bowl as well.
These are fun. They're fun. Typically what I like to do is I like to put like one of these IDP prop bets in there mm-hmm. out of like a three-leg parlay. But usually it's like I've got like a receiving prop mm-hmm. and then like a rushing prop or something like that.
Do you bet games at all?
Not really.
Not really.
I like the props.
Yeah, the props are fun.
Props are fun.
Yeah. I got to figure out who I like this weekend. I'll be placing some actual game bets.
Yeah. You're going to do some parlays?
Oh, I love doing the parlays. Mm-hmm. They're so much fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we always lose, but that's okay.
You going to do a round robin?
Nope. I don't know if the sports book takes round robins. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to talk about 6 Dynasty Risers, LB, DL, and DB. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, we're back, and it is time to talk Dynasty. It is that time of the offseason where your regular redraft fantasy leagues might be over, but Dynasty is just starting to heat up, so we want to give you all some Dynasty content here to wrap up this episode. Addy, you're in the ranks pretty much every day, making changes, you know, looking at especially end-of-season stuff, I think is factoring pretty heavily into how the player movement has been for you so far this offseason.
Bumping down all the olds.
Mm-hmm. All the youngs.
All the youngs rising.
All the olds falling. But you've come around on the olds, though.
Sure, yeah. I mean, we know. And we know that we just saw what Khalil Mack did. You know, we see what Calais Campbell's still doing at age 37. DeMario Davis still very relevant. Bobby Wagner. Vontae David. You want me to keep going?
You could, yeah. I want to hear some more olds.
Yeah, get older.
Makes me feel good as a fellow old.
Cam Hayward, he's had a little down year, so that off the rails. But you guys get the point, right? I mean, these old guys can still be elite into their mid-30s, you know. So, yes, it's a little different than offense only or offensive dynasty just because, you know, those guys fall off a cliff once they turn like 27, 28. It's not the case. That's not the case in IDP. So
defense can still get it done into their 30s.
But yeah, we live in those ranks. That's where I feel at home. That's where I feel most comfortable.
Yeah,
and I like it there.
He's a freak in the sheets.
Sure.
The spreadsheets, that
sure,
is.
Sure, sure.
Now, we should mention, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see we have the new Jalen Phillips jersey has replaced Darius Leonard, because it wasn't even Shaq Leonard. It was a Darius Leonard jersey. Where is Jalen going to end up in your ranks now that he's coming off the Achilles?
He's still up there. He's still very high. But, yeah, I mean, he's not, you know. I think had he not gotten hurt, he would have gone bonkers that those final 2 months of the season. He probably would have been, like, top five.
Probably would have won you IDP Madness.
Yeah, he would have.
Yes.
Him and Chandler Jones, those are the two reasons why I didn't win.
Chandler IDP Jones. Madness.
Yeah.
Releasing Bill Belichick raps on Twitter now, apparently.
He's in a bad spot.
Yeah.
So wish him the best, but he certainly...
He needs help.
He certainly ruined my dreams.
He did. Crushed it. Yeah. Okay,
He's edge 11 for me right now. I have him right behind Josh Allen.
Okay.
And in front of Rashawn Gary.
So what about Bradley Chubb? I was having a conversation with our boys, Steve and Joe from Front Office Pros. We did a kind of a 2023 recap and then some under-the-radar 2024 IDPs that we like. And we brought up Bradley Chubb. And Steve mentioned him as his overachiever for 2023. But torn ACL now, late in the season, I think 27 years old.
Yeah, he'll be 28 next year.
Yeah, that's not a great spot to be for Bradley Chubb.
It's unfortunate. Yeah, I mean, he was having the best year of his career, you know. And this was a guy that had already dealt with a ton of injuries. He had, like, I think it was ankle issues. I think he had another major surgery at one point. So, yeah, tearing the ACL, age 28, that's not ideal.
Isn't this his second torn ACL?
His professional career?
I thought he tore one in Denver and was out for a year.
That may have been what it was. I know Von Miller was there tearing ACLs a few years too, so I get them confused. But, yes, he certainly has had tons of injury history. But it's not an Achilles. You know, it is ACL. Like, we've seen a lot of players recover from this one. So I do think Bradley Chubb is borderline elite. He's not quite elite, but, I mean, he's really, really good. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we see him, you know, have a couple more years of 10 plus sacks, but yeah, this certainly takes a you know, major hit to his value, all this stuff that's happened.
I don't think you can go after him right now, cause I don't know when we're going to see him.
Right. Yeah. Well, where are you going to get next year anyway? You know,
and you look at Rashawn Gary, the slow rollout they had.
Jordan Brooks, who started off strong, but then he had injuries kind of creep up and wasn't really usable down the stretch.
Yeah, kind of wonder if maybe the injuries kind of were a result of rushing back from the ACL.
And Harold Landry, he had a great season, but also he tore his ACL at the beginning of, I think, the preseason in, 2022?
Yeah. I think the best you can hope for is maybe Chubb's back for, like, post-Halloween.
Right.
You know, maybe closer to Thanksgiving.
I mean, yeah, and same thing with Jalen Phillips. Like, both those guys probably don't start the year.
You probably have to go get, like, a DJ Wanham or somebody if you're Miami just to have bodies.
Right, because Van Ginkel, I'm pretty sure, is the UFA.
They're in a weird spot.
He is. Yeah. He's looking for a payday.
They owe Tua if they're going to keep him, right? Has he been paid
yet? I'm sure that decision's coming up.
I don't think he's been paid yet.
What's that Tyreek?
They picked up his fifth year option, I think
it was. Right now, you know?
I think Tyreek is secure.
Okay.
Yeah, he got the bag when he got traded.
I gotcha.
But
it does suck for Bradley Chubb. I mean, Chubb was the third overall pick.
He was up there. He was a top, yeah.
He was really high. And it does suck because the only reason he's probably not a Denver Bronco anymore is because of his injuries. I mean, you look up every couple weeks and he was just injured again. And sometimes it was minor stuff, but sometimes that, you know, the foot stuff and then the ACL, I think it was an ACL. Did you ever look that up, Josh?
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now.
Has he done multiples? But yeah, at age 28, it's kind of like a Nick Chubb to me, to where it's like, it's going to be hard for this guy to piece it back together.
He was the fifth overall pick in 2018.
Mm. Yeah.
And it does suck because he was looking fantastic. He was looking great. Like, gosh, Denver, why did you let this guy go?
Yeah. And, you know, it was such a leap of faith for Miami to trade for him, but then also to pay him what they paid him. I remember a lot of people, you know, with furrowed brows talking about that deal.
Sure.
And he proved everyone wrong.
Furrowed brows, people.
You hate that the ACL tear happened, but, I mean, he was going to make everyone eat those words.
You're trading for Jalen Phillips right now, trying to buy low.
Yeah, we talked about this, I think. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, a second-round pick.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's going to – I'm not going to be able to, you know.
You said a third.
If someone's selling for a third, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You're come on, that's not how you play.
I mean, not listening to this show.
Yeah, you're selling as low as it's been in the last 2 years.
Yeah, so in 2019, Bradley Chubb suffered a partial tear of the ACL. This was in week four of that season. So he missed pretty much all of the 2019 season. So
he never returned after that, right?
He came back the following season, but, yeah, he was out the rest of 2019 after that partial tear. So this is his second ACL injury.
That ACL stuff is – it's still an ACL. That's a major injury. I don't think you ever fully recover from that. That's tough.
Yeah, so let's talk about some risers, though. We've mentioned a couple guys with ambiguous futures ahead of them, but let's talk about some folks who are surging up Addy's ranks. And why don't you kick us off in Houston with a player that I did not think was going to be topping this list when we started having this conversation.
Yeah, in honor of Nick Saban retiring.
There you go.
I thought I'd talk about a former Alabama alum, Christian Harris. I feel like we need to start with the PFF grades here.
Yes.
We dogged Harris quite a bit last year, and rightfully so.
Deservedly so.
He was indeed PFF's worst graded linebacker in 2022.
Maybe ever.
He was in the running for sure. That changed dramatically in 2023. 60.0 overall PFF grade this year. His coverage grade improved from 29.6 in 2022 to 66.0 in 2023. So love to see the improvement in quality of play. He finished the 2023 season with 101 tackles, 2 sacks, 7 PDs, and 7 TFL, playing just 71% of defensive snaps. On the season, he averaged 11.9 points per game and averaged 6.3 tackles per game. But the magic really started to happen once he became a full-time LB in Week 10. Let's look at the splits.
Do the splits, baby.
Weeks 1 through 9, Harris was averaging just 7.9 points per game and 4.3 tackles per game, playing 50% of the defensive snaps. Weeks 10 through 18, his points per game increased to 14.2 points per game. That was 20th best among linebackers. His tackles per game increased to 8, and he was playing 89% of the defensive snaps. Blake Cashman, Denzel Perriman, both UFAs this offseason. Christian Harris is going to be the only guy there.
I was going to say, riser just
Henry T is going to be there, but Henry T had his chance and
kind of blew
stunk it up.
But could he be next year's Christian Harris?
Sure.
Where he comes on late, another Alabama product, Bob O. I will say, watching the Colts-Texans game, Christian Harris tore us up in Week 18. So I think he's finishing the year strong, and it might be flying under the radar a little bit how well he's been playing.
Oh, it definitely did. It definitely did for me. I mean, because I'm watching the game, listening to Joe Buck talk about this transcendent young rookie linebacker who is really talented and the team really loves. I'm like, what is he talking about? And I go back to look a little bit at some of the logs, and I was like, good gosh, this guy's actually playing well. And he popped off the screen. It's interesting to me that you're seeing Christian Harris get some play here, where he wasn't a draftee of this regime.
That's right.
You know, D'Amico Ryans brought in Henry 2020. He brought in Cashman. Perriman was already – oh, he brought Perriman in Perriman. Also.
Cashman was there,
yeah. Okay, Cashman was there. But, so you're getting the who was before D'Amico Ryans?
It was a one and done. It was Lovie Smith.
There you go. You got the Lovie Smith product, and Christian Harris actually showing out for that Texans team. We're going to get to see him again in the playoffs this week and, you know, see what he can do. We might see 2 weeks out of Christian Harris possibly. Weird things happen in the IDP world.
Hey, it's a great buy right now because, like you said, who's going to be there? I don't think they're bringing Perriman back. They could re-sign Cashman. I could see that.
They got bigger problems, you know.
And a lot of linebackers are going to be available in free agency. Yep. So we'll see if they prioritize bringing him back
or we know
going
that,
to the free agency well.
We know that scheme utilizes two linebackers. So, I mean, you feel like it's a pretty good bet that Christian Harris is going to be one of those two, right?
Yeah, I agree.
So,
Where is he right now in your ranks?
Let's pull it up.
And like we said, folks, theidpshow.com, Adam's Dynasty Rankings are available all year round. For our paid supporters, just $5 a month or $50 for the year if you'd like to get in on those.
Got him at LB32. We'll see. He might be rising up a little bit.
I always like the context. Like, who is he sandwiched in between?
Right now he is next to Alex Singleton and Matt Milano.
Okay.
Those guys are behind him. And ahead of him is N'Kobe Dean, Robert Spillane, Drew Sanders. But, I mean, those guys are all kind of like...
Question marks.
Question marks.
I could see you bumping him ahead of those guys you mentioned.
But Christian Harris still is like, there is still a little bit of me that's hesitant, you know.
He got benched like in the second half of the first game this season.
That's kind of in that year-to-year ranking of like, yeah, these guys were fun for this year.
It reminds you like a lot of like Patrick Queen. Like, that's worked out good now, but you remember like the ride there was very up and down, and like people had a hard time valuing this guy. It's the same thing with Christian Harris. Like, we've seen the awful PFF grades. Everyone's aware of that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's, people are going to be hesitant, you know.
And you can use that to your advantage too, because you can also, I think people kind of sink into that belief that Christian Harris is just bad.
Yeah.
And so they can't shake that if he starts to play better. In their mind, he's just always going to be bad. You can take advantage of that.
And your year-end stats are not going to look great for Christian Harris. So where he pulls up on RSO and he's the LB 84, but people aren't looking at, you know,
look at the splits.
Week 10 on, look, he's been pretty impressive.
Yep. And he's 23. He's 23 years old.
Has there been a bigger jump of a total defensive grade from someone from 28.3 to 30? What is that? A 30, almost 32-point jump in 1 year.
It's impressive.
It is impressive. It's impressive. It was also impressively low in 2022.
Right.
I mean, it could go up in 2024.
But he got it to a respectable level.
Oh, sure.
You know.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
got it out of the red.
That's a jump.
Got it out of the orange.
Yep.
Let's talk about the next riser, though, Addy.
Hey, before you do that, y'all selling Pat Queen?
He's probably about to get a
somewhere else.
LB1 role somewhere without a Roquan Smith next to him. So that could help his production.
Yeah. Is he like a Bobby Okereke?
Yes, absolutely.
I think so.
A second banana who could get an LB1 role.
Not a great player, but good.
Yep. Good enough.
Yeah.
Good enough to
could go somewhere like Las Vegas or you know, one of these LB Pittsburgh, one of these LB needy teams.
Not
a lot of good linebackers out there. It's hard. It's a hard position to play.
Yep.
So I mean, if you're, you know, average, that's good.
Sure.
You can probably stick around and get a job.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm buying a lot of linebackers right now.
No,
just
because
there's so much uncertainty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think this is a very fraught period.
That's a good point too. We're talking about these dynasty risers. Yeah. A lot of people are like, ooh, go buy these guys. No, not really. We just had a whole season of scrubs we picked up off the waiver wire that were winning us leagues.
Both of these are just holds. If you have these guys, just hold them.
Yeah. If someone wants to come pay a second for one, get rid of them.
Cash out. Absolutely.
I mean, even like a third feels a little light for Christian Harris, but I mean, you know, if they bring in a highly drafted guy and bring in a vet, that's going to look like, you know.
You did pretty well.
Right. You're going to
turn that into an edge rusher in your rookie draft.
Those linebacker rooms change a lot from.
Exactly. I'm fine just cashing those guys out as much as I can and then just playing the waiver wire. Yeah. Getting my EJ Speeds, my Cleeky Hutchins that we're about to talk about.
Especially in Houston, because it seems like with D'Amico Ryans, he's still kind of testing.
Everyone
to see
got
what's
run.
Going on.
Denzel got run.
Yeah.
Yep.
To'o To'o got run. Cashman got run. Christian Harris got run. I mean, I think Littleton got a little bit of run one game. I mean, it was just a let's figure out who our guys are type of season for that position group. So I mentioned Bobby Okereke was my overachiever on the Front Office Pro show, and I said he's a great sell right now.
Yeah,
finished as LB1. If you go through week 18, played 100% of snaps. Cash out on that sort of overproduction.
There's very few linebackers in my head right now that are not good sales. Foye, probably a good sell.
Great sell.
Roquan. Probably a good sell.
Great sell.
I mean, a lot of these elite names, if somebody came and
the buys that I want are like the Drew Sanders, right, and the Jack Campbells, like those kind of guys that have not popped yet, and the value is going to be depressed.
Should have traded Nick Bolton after last season, and you probably didn't because you listened to me, and here we are.
But maybe buy him now.
Yeah, he's a great buy.
Yeah, he was hurt. He was hurt. It wasn't his fault.
Hey, so, clearing out a little bit for him next year.
Sure is.
Tranquil's gone.
Willie out of there.
Willie gone.
Yep.
Thank goodness.
Let's talk about
bring in Cashman.
Another waiver wire hero who finished the season very strong. I mean, I think he was up there top three or four linebacker for your playoffs.
Hey, we'll get to it.
Let's talk about it.
Hey, with Michigan winning the Natty, I thought we should show some love to former
alumni. You just love showing love to college alumni for some reason. I don't know what the hell's going on here.
Kaliki Hudson. That's a fun name, isn't it?
It sure
so
is.
Fun.
It's
very
a fun name. Boy, he gets some points for that, too, but Hudson got his opportunity at the end of the year thanks to Jamin Davis suffering a season-ending injury week 14, and boy, did he make the most of it. From weeks 15 to 18, when it matters most.
That's right.
Kaliki Hudson was LB3 overall.
Wow.
There you go.
Top three or four, that's what I thought.
averaging 18.5 points per game. Over these final four games, he racked up 52 tackles,
jeez,
four TFLs, and two PDs. But 52 tackles. That's that is 13
per game.
Look at y'all.
Wow. Insane. I was doing the math in my head. I didn't even see it in your notes.
Yeah, that is a 18.3% tackle rate over that four-game stretch. To put that tackle rate in perspective, Zaire Franklin finished 2023 with a 17.4% tackle rate. Alex Singleton was 16.1. Bobby Wagner and Foyer both had a 15.6% tackle rate. So, obviously, Hudson, much smaller sample size, but still, good companies mentioned with.
And four games is not nothing.
It's not nothing. That's a nice little sample. That's a healthy sample size.
Yes, it is.
It ain't like it's a one or two game stretch. We got four games of this dude putting up 13 tackles a week.
Winning people championships, probably.
Winning, yeah, exactly, yes. And then PFF grade's also not terrible. 73.6 overall PFF grade and a 70.2 coverage grade weeks 15 through 18 when he was a full-time starter.
Wow.
So finishes the year with a 64.6 and a 61.8 coverage. But again, I'm interested in that four game sample size where he was a starter and he blew away every expectation there was for this guy. He's a UFA in 2024. Also linebacker mates, Cody Barton, David Mayo, and Jabril Cox. Those guys are also UFA. So maybe Washington wants to bring this guy back.
I could see them bringing him back. I really could.
I could too, you know, but
cheap deal,
but it sounds like they are going to be, having a whole new,
whole new
GM and
brain trust head coach.
So this was a guy that, you know, not going to be a part of anything new they bring in. So, I mean, maybe there's a chance he leaves. And I'm sure teams took notice, you know. I'm sure people are aware of what this guy did and going to try and, you know, get a nice little sneaky deal on this guy.
I was going to say, I think a smart GM is going to sneak in here and get a good player.
He'll be a Eagle next year.
Probably. Oh, he's absolutely going to be an Eagle. Kaliki Hudson-Babo.
Mm-hmm.
Not a name I thought we'd be talking about either, but
here we are.
That's how these things go.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Kaliki Hudson was really profitable for those people down the stretch. Like Adam says, when it mattered most, Kaliki Hudson probably won you a ring. Is he a good sell? I mean, yeah, if somebody comes and offers you something dumb. Are you so you weren't trading, who did we just talk about?
Christian Harris.
You're not trading him for a third, Adam. Would you trade Kaliki for a third?
Man, it's just one of those deals. Like, I'd rather just hold him, I think, just because if he does produce and he does get his role, we know how he produces, right?
Yeah.
He seems like he's going to be one of these super tackle type guys. And that's just so valuable in any type of scoring format. Even big three scoring, we get knocked on, I think, for our scoring because we don't boost up these tackles. But
yeah,
it doesn't matter. Linebackers do everything. They get sacks, they get interceptions, PDs, and they get the most tackles.
Yep.
So they're going to score well in pretty much any format. But I don't know, man.
I think I would hold him too. Christian Harris, I think I have a little harder time letting go of just because his situation seems a little more secure, a little more.
And that coach, man.
A little more clarity, yeah. Right? I mean, you know he's going to be in Houston. Who knows where Kaliki Hudson is going to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I feel like process wise, it's probably smart to cash out on Hudson,
mm-hmm.
You know? He's a guy that did not have value until week 15 of this season.
And he's going to be in an uphill battle against being the next team, the next coach's favorite.
Is he?
It took what, like two injuries for him to get his opportunity, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is he Jack Sanborn?
Could be.
You know?
Could be.
Now, Jack Sanborn stayed in Chicago. There's a chance that Kaliki stays in Washington, but I don't know. I just think the late season pop guys are always great sells because
it's always tough.
Guess what? You just get you a young rookie stud edge rusher or something in the third round and then go pick up the hot guy in week 13 next season.
Yeah.
But sometimes that third round is kind of yucky. I mean, I think that a lot of these leagues with offense and defense, it's going to be heavy offense this year. There's going to be a lot of wide receivers taken in the first and second round. So maybe that drops some of these Drew Sanders and some of these Jack Campbells into the third round in 2024. I don't know.
They were still, you know, Jalen Carter was going in the third, I think, quite a bit. Tyree Wilson.
Van Ness probably was a third rounder.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, there is, I think you can find some talent there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, all those guys we mentioned, I have them higher in Dynasty than I do Kaliki Hudson.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
I'd much rather have a Tyree Wilson or Lucas Van Ness than a Kaliki.
And you don't have to use it. You can use it to get something else.
Yeah. Know? I think process-wise, it's a good idea to just cash out when you can. Again, because like we've mentioned a ton of times on this show, there's just not a hot market for all these guys, right? There's not going to be every single one of your league mates is not going to have the same opinion on a guy that you like or whatever. There's going to maybe three or four guys are interested in, and you know what I mean?
So if you have guys come sniffing after your linebackers,
you need to be really, you need to be on the side of, I'm going to get rid of this guy.
Yep.
I'm going to do my best to make, I'm not going to give him away, but yes, if just meet me something somewhat fair, he's gone.
Yep.
Because there is a methodology to just streaming linebackers. As yucky as it might seem in week one, shout out Nico. In XFL, he had the most cap, I feel like, going into the season where, you know, you could give whoever, most fab, whatever you want to call it. You know, he was grabbing these weekly guys that just kind of popped, and he didn't win a lot, but he did trade a bunch of linebackers to contenders throughout the season. You know, he produced some. I'm trying to think of some of these linebackers this last year that Robert came out Spillane. Of nowhere. Spillane, EJ Speed kind of came out
There's
of
another
nowhere.
Good one, though, like EJ Speed. You selling EJ Speed?
Probably.
Man, I don't know.
He's a little older, too, though.
Yeah, he is older. He looks so good down the stretch,
Does Indy not bring anybody in? You know what I mean?
Could be. Just I mean, roll we've back got, Zaire. We need to help the bolster that offense a
Are
lot.
Are you trading Zaire? Zaire kind of slowed down a little bit down
he was,
the stretch.
He was banged up.
What can I get for him? Is someone going to give me a second? That's probably not enough to move.
No.
Mm-hmm. I'll just take Zaire.
I said I would
you
cash
would take
out.
Take a second for Zaire?
That's tough. It depends on where I'm at. It depends on where my team is. If I'm rebuilding, yeah, probably so. Am I going to get more better than a second? Probably not. So I probably would just cash out there. But if I'm a contender and I'm someone that's locked in for the next 2 years, I think I'll just keep Zaire and those 180 tackles.
Well, that's what I said with Okereke is I would sell him for a second. I think that's a fair price. But again, it's always context specific, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If you are in a window where it's like my defense is loaded, I think I can run it back. I mean, why sell for picks, you know?
Zaire, one of three linebackers in 2023 with over 100 solo tackles. The other two, Foye and Alex Singleton.
Old Kingleton. Remains Kings. That's, Kings stay Kings.
It's 4 years in a row, over 100 for Kingleton.
Sure wow. Enough. Let's move to defensive line, though, Addy. And just these names are so funny because it is not these guys.
Hey, I'm
Kaliki Hudson,
this.
I promise you, was probably not rostered in any Madness League or any best ball draft.
No.
I bet you don't even show up on the ADP. And this next guy, I don't think would show up on the ADP either. Let's go to Las Vegas, Addy. Who are we talking about?
Malcolm Kuntz. Finished the year with 40 tackles and 8 sacks, playing just 44% of the defensive snaps, but Kuntz didn't really come on until the second half of the season. In fact, Kuntz didn't record his first sack until week 9.
There you go.
So a blistering second half for Malcolm, and that's apparent when we look at the splits. Weeks 1 through 8, he played 35% of defensive snaps, and he averaged 3.4 points per game. Weeks 9 through 18, that jumped up to 53% of defensive snaps, and he averaged 15.5 points per game. That was 14th best among all DL. PFF metrics also very good. Among all edge rushers and interior defensive linemen, Kuntz ranked 21st in pass rush grade, 25th in pressure rate, and he had the 34th highest pass rush win rate. Difficult to say right there.
Very difficult to say.
It will, though.
81.3 overall PFF grade this year for Kuntz. Just improvement across the board and everything he's done. I mean, he didn't really get the opportunity in year one or year two.
Yeah.
Which was always – this was a guy that I always liked. I mean, he pressure rate was really good, although it was a limited sample size those first 2 years, and he produced whenever he got an opportunity.
He did. In 2021, week 13 – on 10% of snaps, one tackle, one sack. Week 14, 23% of the snaps, one tackle, one sack. But then they went ahead and shelved him. And then 2022, just a handful of snaps here and there.
Yeah, he played 68 snaps in 2022.
Yeah.
48 snaps in 2021, 501 in 2023.
Wow.
So he got his opportunity, not as much as we'd like to see for how good as he was.
Man, I'm also just realizing that I messed up on the opener of this.
Oh, no.
What happened?
I was going to say, in honor of Khalil Mack having a great year, let's talk about former Buffalo alum Malcolm Kuntz.
Oh, God.
We love college.
Yeah, we do watch a lot of college football.
Damn it. You blew it.
You're out.
Damn it.
Go out in the yard and think about what you did.
Damn it. Could have been great.
Could have been great. Greatness was in your grasp, and you choked.
I know. Like we mentioned plenty, though, with Tyree Wilson. You love that Koontz gets to watch and learn from Max Crosby on a daily basis. He's gotten to do so over the last 3 years. Also like that Koontz will be entering the final year of his rookie contract.
Boy.
Contract year glow up.
We got to do an episode about contract year glow up.
Yeah.
I think it's a real thing.
It's a very real thing.
He smells a lot like this next guy. The same situation. You were to put this situation 2022.
And also I feel good about Koontz like having a similar role alongside Tyree Wilson and Max Crosby. I feel like that is the only position on the Raiders that they have figured out right now. That's any good.
Yes.
Yeah. And has any upside.
On both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Really.
It also goes to show that DL is a developmental type of position. This is not something, you know, if you're starting to lose heart on George Karloftis, on Trayvon Walker, on Lucas Van Ness, on Aiden Hutchinson, you're not losing heart on him. But a lot of these young guys that had, you know, high draft capital behind them, if people are starting to kind of get weary of them, some of them might not work out. But some of these, you got to give them 3 and 4 years to really kind of get their feet underneath of them to, you know, cut the teeth a little bit.
Yep. They are long-term investments, dude.
Yep.
You take a while.
Be patient. Speaking of long-term investment, I feel like we've been talking about this guy for a while, but came into the national spotlight. I think you've actually got some tweets to share, Addy. Who is the next guy here on our list?
I will say, I was worried about this guy on the day that they showed up for training camp. Did you ever see the picture of him walking inside from his car, shirt off, like I think pretty crazy chain? I think he was carrying a baseball bat with, like, nails in
it. No, you're thinking of Michael Clemens.
Gosh. Is that not him? Okay.
No, different guy.
My bad.
Michael Clemens also just had a moment, a viral moment where he was pointing fans out.
That was him?
That was Michael Clemens.
Okay. That was hilarious. Michael Clemens.
He's awesome. Yeah. Michael Clemens is an awesome dude.
Yeah.
This next guy, Bryce Huff. In honor of, I'm just kidding.
Good God.
I don't know where he went to school.
What random connection are you about to make?
Did he go to Cincinnati?
I'm going
to
look it up.
Don't you do it. In honor of Ivan Pace Jr.
Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
There you go.
So Bryce Huff finished the year with 29 tackles.
Memphis.
And 10 sacks. Okay. I don't know.
John Morant.
There you go. 29 tackles and 10 sacks on just 42% of the defensive snaps. For fantasy, this equaled Huff finishing as the DL57 in total points and DL70 in points per game, averaging just 9.6 points per game. So not blowing anyone away. But remember, he's playing just 42% of the snaps. So let's go one step further, boys.
Let's dig a little deeper.
Please.
Let's do the points per snap.
There we go.
Let's break it out.
I'm just waiting for points per second.
It's coming.
It's coming, all right.
It's coming. We got Ringler on it.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
But let's look at points per snap. We don't do this a lot, guys, so this is special right here. Bryce Huff is 13th among all defensive linemen, averaging 0.34 points per snap.
Wow.
Thanks, son.
Adam creating stats over there.
Love to see it.
He's a stat creator.
And speaking of stats, the PFF advanced stats are out of control. 20.1% pressure rate this season. That is second among all defensive linemen. That is second only to Micah Parsons.
Wow.
And it's just by a hair. He has a 22.8% pass rush win rate. That is third behind Myles Garrett and Micah Parsons.
Some very good company.
Yeah, I mean, he just – every stat that he has, it's just – it's among an elite group of pass rushers. So, I mean, this dude tearing it up, just tearing it up across the board. He's also going to be a UFA this season. So, 2024, man, he's going to be –
he is 2024 Uchenna Nwosu.
Yes, I think so.
Just get ready.
A lot more money, a lot more playing time in 2024 for Bryce Huff.
Yeah, and some love from a couple of our favorites
here. Some good tweets here. Sam Munson over at PFF. Bryce Huff this season had the 6th best pass rush win rate of any edge rusher of the last 10 years.
10 years!
And the 3rd best pressure rate. So I guess Micah Parsons is also top 3 in pressure rate.
I was going to say, that's a good season for Micah Parsons as well.
Here's a guy by the name of John Macri.
One of our faves.
Highest quick pressure rate. This is pressures that happen in 2.5 seconds or less among edge rushers in 2023.
So Macri's also making up stats.
Yes. Micah QPR. Parsons, number 1, at 18.6. Myles Garrett, number 2, 16.2. Bryce Huff, number 3, 14.6.
Look at number 4.
Number 4, Dante Fowler.
Dante Fowler. We mentioned this. 2024 Jadeveon Clowney.
And then Zaria Smith, number 5.
There we go.
He let us down, though.
Old Z Smith.
In the stat department this year. But, yeah, I mean, Bryce Huff, I mean, you look at the metrics and the guy looks about as elite as it gets. It makes you wonder, like, why are they not playing this guy more than 42% of the snaps? He is a little undersized, but gosh, when you watch him, the dude is explosive as hell. He's thick and like he looks almost like a beefed up off ball linebacker. He doesn't really look like an edge rusher.
Yeah, I want to see who his comparable player is and player profiler.
Clearly, he is an edge rusher. 10 sacks. I mean, the guy is impressive, and he's gotten better every single year. And the all the advanced metric stuff, like that's not a new thing. Like this is he's been pressure rate.
This has always been the story with Bryce.
Always
Huff.
Been the story.
That's why
with
we
Bryce
like this
Huff.
Guy.
He's one of these efficient kings that we just want to see him get his next opportunity.
Yeah, not the most sterling comp in player profilers database, which just looks at measurables. But Clelin Ferrell was the most comparable player. But 6'2", 254, so he is like a souped up linebacker. But you know,
I've got it.
Look at the underlying metrics. I mean, just absolutely eye popping. So
picked him up off of waivers in tons of dynasty leagues this year.
What's his size?
6'2", 254.
I was gonna say Hassan Reddick. Reddick's a little smaller, 6'1", 240.
Yeah, so he's like a beefed up Hassan Reddick.
Yeah.
And what did Reddick start as? An off-ball linebacker before they moved him to edge rusher.
You're welcome.
All right, so.
Good pull.
Bryce Huff. Where is that? Let's go back and revisit some where these guys are. So where's Coon's daddy? Where is Huff daddy? What are we looking at here? Where have these guys landed for you?
I like that, Huff daddy.
Huff daddy.
That is cool.
That's fun.
Okay, so Kuntz is edge 49.
Okay.
And again, he's just been a rocket ship.
Was he even – he was probably in your
ranks. He was in the ranks, but he was, you know – it was one of those situations where I liked the guy, but like
– we're not playing.
Yeah. And you bring in Tyree Wilson. Yeah. It's like, it's just –
everything was against
him. It's not going to work out, I guess, for this guy. But, yeah, so it is now –
how much does that coincide with kind of the interim head coach?
I mean, Pierce came in about the same time. Right, because McDaniels was let go like around mid-season, I think.
Real similar time frame.
I think Pierce gets that job. Yeah, that's my prediction.
Too. Yeah.
So I got him around. He's around guys like Sam Williams and AJ Epenesa.
Okay.
So
that's good company for a guy that wasn't even on the radar. Yeah.
I like Sam Williams to have a nice breakout in year three, and I also like AJ Epenesa as a UFA. He looked good every time I watched him.
He could get a sneaky deal.
He had good pressure rate. All
I kind of sold him off too. I thought maybe the ship had sailed on Epenesa.
They're just in a situation similar to Bryce Huff where it's just that's a big rotation.
Yeah.
They don't play guys a lot. So then Bryce Huff, where did Bryce Huff end up for you?
He's a little higher.
So that was 49 for Coon's daddy?
Yes, 49. And then Mr. Bryce Huff is edge 33, baby.
There you go.
Right next to, and this is a nice player to have next to, I think. It reminds me a lot of the guy, Carl Granderson.
Mm-hmm.
Byron Young's right there. Miles Murphy. Bradley Chubb.
That's probably the highest anyone has Bryce Huff. If you looked across the dynasty rankings.
So. Absolutely. I would think so.
People are going to say who?
Yeah, Bryce Huff who?
Yeah.
I've got Nick Herbig as edge 39. I'd say
him big.
That's
not cutting edge.
Common. That's what we do, man. That's what we got to do over here. We can't
get ahead of the curve.
Sure.
They're the best. They're the best in the game.
Best in the game. You heard it here first, folks.
They are.
You're in them every day. I mean,
they're the best of the IDP show.
They are. I mean, that is 100%.
You are the number one dynasty ranker at theidpshow.com.
Yep. Best ball ranks are coming soon.
That's right. I'm excited for that.
Those are by far maybe the best thing in IDP.
Maybe. Streets are talking. We're going to find out if 5.5 times 2 is 11. And if these are the best things in IDP.
It's close enough.
We will report back. Let's talk DBs, though, and a rocket ship for your defensive back room.
Or like blanket ship.
That's what I was going to set Addy up on, Bobbo, and you stepped all over it. I
can't help it.
Addy, who is your first riser for the defensive back group?
Mr. Reed Blankenship. Out of Middle Tennessee State.
There you go. Shout out.
MTSU.
Conference USA.
Enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Blankenship finished the year with 108 tackles.
Enemy. I want to be someday just called enemy by someone.
And they got bad hearts down there.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
They really do.
They do.
It's that barbecue.
Awful people.
I don't like it. He finished the year with 108 tackles, one fumble recovery, three INTs in 15 games. He averaged 7.2 tackles per game. That was sixth best among defensive backs. And he does this despite less than ideal usage. Blankenship played 73% of his snaps at free safety this year. So I love finding guys like this that, you know, despite this playing deep and whatever, they still find a way to get the ball. Right. They got a nose for the ball, know how to tackle. Also, look at, I've mentioned this before, look at Reed Blankenship's college stats. Dude was an elite tackler, and early on, too, like as soon as he got there, played like all 4 years and produced very well all 4 years. So that stuff matters to me. When a guy shows you kind of who he is, I mean.
Believe him.
Yeah, fantasy finish of safety 12 in total points and safety 7 in points per game. That was a 13.2 per game average this year. 73.4 overall PFF grade. That ranked 19th among safeties. 78.0 coverage grade. That was 15th.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, Sidney Brown no longer
really
a threat. Maybe they bring someone in, but I think they're fine there.
I think they're savvy. I mean,
they went out and bought Byard, you know. They're paying him a lot of money. So, I mean, I think they're fine there at safety. They got other issues to worry about.
Bobo, look up week 18. I swear I think Blankenship had an interception in that game. But, yeah, this was a guy that we were trying to suss out who it was going to be amongst the Philadelphia safeties.
Especially after C.D. Deuce left.
Yeah, at the beginning of the season, and
he did have an INT.
Did he? I thought so. I mean, dude's just a playmaker. But yeah, what do you think? What do you think the outlook for 2024 is? I feel like him and Byard are pretty secure there.
Yeah, I feel good. I feel good about it.
I don't think if you're the Philadelphia brass and those, that's a very sharp. Howie Roseman is a very sharp GM. They examine that roster top to bottom.
They're going
to
be looking at those metrics. They're going to definitely look at those numbies.
I think they're not. I don't think they're going to look at the safety group and say, yeah, we need to go upgrade this position.
They're going to look at the guys in front of them.
Yeah, they're going to look at linebacker. Yeah.
Yep.
Probably bringing in some defensive line reinforcements.
Maybe another edge. Mm-hmm. Josh Sweat kind of underperformed this year.
He sure did. Did he get paid?
I think he's still there.
He's on a
Yeah, he did get paid extension. 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah, it was a nice little deal. It was like, I think, 3 years, 45, something like that.
He's celebrating a little bit. He's taking a lap.
That's right.
We don't like when they take laps.
Yeah, when they get paid, they change. Your money changes who they are.
Emmanuel Ogba, we're looking at you, boy. You better perform now in the playoffs.
What was that terrible deal? Washington Reds. Ooh.
You almost said the R word.
Almost did. But it was them back then. It was
Albert Hainsworth.
There you go. Wasn't it like $100 million?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Was that before or after he stomped on someone's face?
It was after, I think, right? Because that was...
He was in Tennessee when he did that?
I think, first, right?
Yeah.
And that was, that was a big scandal.
Mm-hmm. Big scandal back in the day.
$100 million.
Before social media, really.
Yeah, $100 million. That seemed like just an unthinkable amount of money.
It's still a lot of money for a defensive player. I mean, you don't see... How many $100 million contracts do you see for defensive guys?
A lot more, though, than
Shaq Leonard got then. Basically $100
million. Think about how much...
Your edge rushers now.
Yeah, like Joey Bosa got a ton, didn't he?
Has Nick Bosa gotten paid?
Who else got? Yes, Nick Bosa got paid. Mm-hmm.
Has Crosby gotten paid?
Yes.
Years ago.
He got $100 million.
2 years ago. I think about Gruden.
Von Miller.
Khalil Mack.
Von Miller got $125 million, I think.
Khalil Mack, didn't he get like $150 million or something?
Think about how much money the Raiders are paying Gruden and now McDaniels.
Yeah.
Gruden was a 10-year, $100 million deal. I don't know what McDaniels was.
It's probably 4 or 5 years. It's usually what these coaching contracts are. I think
that's the best deal in the NFL. Go be a coach, be real terrible.
Yeah, Frank Reich is like, I'll probably retire because I just signed like a 4-year deal in Carolina and played like 9 games.
Yeah, it's honestly really easy. You just got to be really good for a little bit and get a huge deal and then just be really bad. Yeah.
And then just cash out and go
Audi.
Live on the beach somewhere.
Easy life.
Easy life.
Like Kenny Perry. Every day. Or by Kenny Perry.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I might play a little bit better, of course. Yeah. Love you, Kenny. Yeah. But
if I've got like a coach's contract, like $40, $50 million in the bank, because those are fully guaranteed deals. They get every penny of that.
I might be a bit legacy.
Where are you living? You get $50 million tomorrow. Where are you living?
I've definitely got a house in Italy. I've probably got one down in 30A somewhere.
Sure.
And that'd probably be about it. I don't need a lot of houses.
You're lying. What about you?
A lot of land.
Sure.
A lot of land. Don't want a lot. Like, no neighbors.
Yeah.
Somewhere
don't
in the country.
Don't ever want to see anybody ever again.
Somewhere in the country. I need about,
humble.
100 acres?
That'd be nice. 1,000. That'd be nice.
Okay.
I need a farm.
Okay.
You're gonna become a farmer?
No,
this life. Shut up, Josh. Talk.
Lord, no. We're gonna get some golf holes.
Get some golf holes. I want a farm that's a golf course. I think that's just called a golf course.
I can't do that anywhere else. I gotta be on the country.
You can't have your private golf course.
Yeah, this functioning farm. Kill all these cows, knock down all these barns.
There weren't cows there to begin with when Adam bought it.
Just need the land, Josh.
Just need the,
Josh,
need
this
the
is land. A rough reality just you're need, making us live in.
The land and the privacy. That's all you need.
I just love. I want a farm.
Maybe a river or something.
Okay.
A creek or something. Yeah. A creek, not a river.
Adam wants to buy the Grand Canyon.
Will you pay me to farm it?
Sure. I'll take care of it for you. Yeah.
We'll let you get on the. We'll get you on the bush hog.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Bobby's out there.
We'll have the thickest rough you've ever seen.
Oh, sure, man.
Sure.
I don't know how we transitioned from this to Jordan Battle, but that's what we're going to do. I need to wrap things up here. The last DB of the Risers. Who do you got?
Anyone else want to read it? You guys want to take it over?
I kind of like you reading. Right. I usually read so much of this.
Okay. All right.
I want to see the Alabama reference.
In honor of Nick Saban retiring.
In honor of Bill Belichick going to coach Alabama.
Where's he going?
I don't know, man.
Something's up.
I saw where Dallas was saying that if what's-his-face doesn't perform well.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know. That seems...
He's had, like, a great season.
But if, you know, he chokes away in the playoffs.
Well, the one that I've seen is Atlanta, because they've always hired coaches with no head coaching experience. Yeah. So it could be a zig where they usually zag. So we'll see. That's the one I've heard connected to
Belichick's
from
have
official
to
sources.
Yeah, that's
stay
great.
With Jerry for a couple of months.
But also,
nights.
Like someone said, wouldn't you go to L.A. and have Justin Herbert and some defensive pieces to work with as opposed to Desmond Ritter, Taylor Heineke?
I feel like that's kind of a – you got Herbert, and that's really about it, in my opinion.
Yeah, a lot of old
– older Derwin, older Bosa.
Bill Belichick would love that. Are you kidding me?
Older Keenan, older Eckler.
Bosa can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
That's although little, I do like Bosa for next year.
Oh, here we go.
I'm not having this conversation with you.
A little fool's gold.
They hurt till they ain't.
I think Joey Bosa hurts until he retires.
He's going to be cheaper than he's ever been.
We've had the same conversation. He's going to miss nine games.
He's cheaper than he's ever been. Hey, if you look at the games he played, though, pretty good. Pretty good in best ball.
He was good by PPS.
Pretty y'all good can, in best ball.
Y'all can talk this all off season, hey. And I'll determine what we're going to do week one.
Hey. Seven first place finishes in these best balls.
Not thanks to Joey Bosa, though.
Just saying. That is true. That is true.
It's thanks to Khalil Mack.
That is true.
Not Joey
but what
Bosa.
I'm saying is I saw Khalil Mack coming. All right, Jordan Battle.
I'm about to cut a lot of this episode.
Third round rookie out of Alabama. Finishes the year with 69 tackles. That's nice.
Speaking of coming.
Two sacks. Four TFLs. Five PDs. But a lot of this players on a lot of this guy's production occurred in the second half of the season, just like a lot of the guys on this list. Weeks 1 through 9, 16% of the snaps and averaged 2.3 points per game. Weeks 10 through 18, he played 85% of the defensive snaps and he averaged 12.2 points per game and averaged 7 tackles per game. 7 tackles per game would put him on a season pace of 119, boys. The usage was also pretty solid. Out of his 524 total snaps, he played 200 snaps in the box, 44 snaps in the slot, and 17 on the defensive line. So basically like right down the middle as far
yeah,
as
50-50, yeah, it seems like.
Pretty much. So grades were also good for Jordan Battle, like really good. 82.5 overall PFF grade. That was 10th best among safeties.
Wow.
So just really impressive first year for Jordan Battle. It feels a lot like, you know, this is the new Von Bell and Jesse Bates.
What I was just getting ready to say.
So yeah, I like Battle and Hill both, but yeah, I mean, I think you got to feel really good about Jordan Battle and what you see out of a guy that was drafted in the third round.
Yep. I was going to say, DB risers, him and Dax Hill both.
Both of them.
I think are big-time risers.
Yep.
And should be top 24, yep. top 30 options for you next season.
Yep.
I mean, I feel good about both these guys.
Don't get crazy, of course. You know, don't do anything dumb.
Yeah, don't go...
Don't go paying up for them, you know, if they slip around. I'm thinking about, like, this year, like, there was a lot of, and I know it didn't really work out at the end of the season, but, like, there was a lot of, like, Javon Holland that you could get late, you know, like, around safety 30 or something. I'm sure that there's going to be some Jordan Battle that slips through and stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Because, again, look at how he started the season. A lot of folks, casuals check out.
Correct.
If your team's eliminated, you check out. So. You may not have noticed Kaliki Hudson, Malcolm Kuntz, Jordan Battle coming on at the end of the season.
Exactly.
So, well, there you go, folks. 6 Dynasty risers, as well as the fantasy playoff rankings and our favorite bets for Wild Card Weekend. Gentlemen, it was fun to be back in the shack, chopping it up and just being idiots with you guys.
Yeah, it was a great time. I missed this. We hadn't done it in a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's been energy. Like what? Month and a half?
Yeah. Christmas. It was tough this year because, you know, week 17, the week of content that we would have done, our recap would have fallen on Christmas Eve. Yeah. Waivers was on Christmas Day.
That's right.
And it's just like, gosh, I mean, we could try to make it work on another year when the holiday's on a different day. But
yeah, we tried. It was just 11 o'clock.
And we did.
Just makes
we,
it tough.
I was still trying to put kids down.
Yeah, Christmas
Adam was
Eve.
Ready.
I was watching Die Hard.
Wow.
I was like, I don't think I'm getting off this couch.
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
It is a Christmas movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I watch it at Christmas.
I've never seen it.
It's a Christmas movie.
I was playing golf.
You don't watch movies. Shut up. You don't get to have opinions on movies and television.
I've actually not seen it either.
Hey, yeah. So your Super Bowl pick is?
Yeah, so I think I'm going to go Ravens-Cowboys.
And the winner is?
I'm going to go Ravens.
Wow.
I'll give it to Lamar.
Wow.
Yeah. I think they've been the best team for 6 weeks now.
Let's go with the 49ers and the Bills.
Oh, fun. Okay, winner?
Niners.
Niners. Addy's big on the Niners. What you got, Bobo?
Oh, man.
I won't hate it if you say the Rams.
It's just, I mean, in a fun world, that would be cool. It's going to be tough to get past the 49ers over there. This is going to be gross. Let's go Baltimore Cowboys. Let's give it to the Cowboys.
Oh, wow. Johnny's going to fall out of his chair.
Let's give it to the Cowboys.
Same matchup that you had, too?
Yeah, that's what I had, too. Ravens, Cowboys.
That's the two best teams, I feel like, right now. Purdy turned into a pumpkin in the postseason last year, too, didn't he?
No, he got hurt.
Okay.
UCL sprain.
Right. Yeah, he's right. Back. He's angry. He's ready to prove people sure like you wrong for doubting him.
He's back, and he's angry.
And I will be clipping this and sending it to him.
I don't know if Purdy's ever been angry.
Hashtag Purdy.
But hopefully y'all aren't angry after listening to this episode. We will be back, like we said, next week.
I dare you to be.
Yeah, just don't. Don't get him riled up, folks. He's in his bag right now, his bag of evil. We'll be back next week with an ADP review. Gentlemen, I don't know if I've talked to y'all about this, but we're going to be reviewing the ADP. We're going to be looking at best values and biggest disappointments from our ADP.
You're one of my biggest disappointments.
Well, I've heard that before from both of my parents, so thank you, Bobo, for that childhood trauma being revisited.
You're welcome.
But we'll be doing, IDP bets for the divisional round. We'll be doing ADP review. We'll be doing the reality check series starting here soon, looking back at top performers from 2023 to see, is this a flash in the pan? Is this what we can expect going forward? So the wheel's going to keep on turning, boys. And got a lot of big announcements. Keep your eye on the Twitter account. The week of January 22nd, we're going to be doing some big announcements every single day that week, and you do not want to miss it. So I'll just leave it at that.
Good. Big tings.
Big tings as always.
For use.
This is a fun time of year.
Yeah. You got to lock in with us in the off season. That's when really the magic happens. Yeah. I mean, that's when we figure out who these values are, who we're targeting, all this stuff. I look back at some of the tweets I put out last off season.
Bangers.
Boy, I'm a hell of a follow. Yes. I'm tooting my own horn tonight, but I had some good calls.
You're
in there.
A corporate shill, and you're a sure horn did. Tutor.
But why? Because we're locked in and we're drafting. There's no one else in IDP. All these little IDP content creators, they're all clocked out right now.
Yeah.
All of them. They all shut down at week 17.
They ain't drafting.
We ain't done that for 4 years. Since we started this thing, we've not done that. The only group of people that have done that in IDP, and it ain't ever going to stop.
Nope. Yeah.
But there's a reason why we are what we are. It's because we work and we don't stop, and we love it.
We're grind boys. Speaking of which, best ball drafts will be firing up here soon. We're getting all the leagues from 2023 paid out. Mm-hmm. So if you're in those leagues and you haven't gotten your payout yet, be patient because we are working through those. I think we have 74 leagues to go through.
Yeah, it's been a big learning
experience. Yes. So just be patient with us. We are going to have those paid out hopefully by the end of this week, start of next week.
There will be no voting next year. Yes. It's going to all be commissioner control. You're going to have to trust me. I mean, I'm sorry, but yeah, this has been a headache.
Adam's taking that money. Buddy. He's going.
He gone.
He's going to.
It's been a big headache.
He gone.
But we'll get it done because we love you all.
Yeah.
And we'll be firing drafts up here soon, probably like right after the Super Bowl. Like mid to late February, get some drafts going. I think you had ones going
February,
end of January
last year.
So just stay tuned. TheIDPShow.com. Make sure you're following the show on Twitter.
This is a fun part of the offseason, too, to where like we can kind of chase rabbits if we want to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we love in-season, but sometimes the in-season's hard where it's like Khalil Mack had 4 sacks and was really good. It's just, you know, we can be a little bit robotic at times.
Yep.
Off-season lets you kind of stretch out a little bit.
A little bit loose.
Sure.
Not as many people listening.
Perhaps a little too loose.
Right.
You know what I mean.
Get borderline canceled, maybe.
That's what I'm trying to get us out of here before we get canceled. So thank you all for listening, and thank you for locking in with us. Stay tuned. Like we said, big things coming up. But until next time, y'all take care.
Tired of the shade. Just booked a flight downtown LA. With my head in the sand, eyes to the sky. Keep my chin up, gotta get mine. Too old for the handouts, doing just fine. No suicide, laid it all on the line. Can't stop now. Haven't hit my prime. I can't stop now. I wanna feel alive. I can't stop now. Too many of my friends die. I can't stop now.